All right, we're starting a new iteration over here. We'll start with brachos. We began Daf Yomi. Well, we—I shouldn't say we, because I did not. But full disclosure, I don't learn Daf Yomi. It's not for me. But for those of you who do, kol hakavod and good luck. And I thought we would start over, inspired by the Siyum HaShas in the beginning of Daf Yomi, by learning whatever Daf or either the Daf of the day, or if I think the Daf of the week is more interesting, whatever Daf that shows up, it should help us actually be more focused. It could actually help so that we can decide more quickly and more easily what to focus on. So here we're actually going to do the Daf of the day. We're starting on Lamed Amud Bet on the bottom, and we'll get to Lamed Aleph. We're not going to finish the whole Daf of Lamed Aleph, which is the day of the Daf of the day. We're starting where it's in the beginning of the Perek. Perek Ein Omdin. It's the fifth Perek of Brachos. So on the bottom it's a Mishnah. And we are going to go, hopefully, all the way to the bottom of the next Amud, but I don't think we're going to read every single word in the Gemara, because I want to make sure that we have time to do the sources. So I may pick and choose, but we'll do most of it. All right, ready? Off we go. So, Ein Omdim Lehitpalel El Mitoch Kovet Rosh Chasidim Rishonim Ayushoin Sha Achat Umitpalem Kedei Sheichavnu Libam Lavim Sheva Shamayim Afilo Hamelach Shol Bishlamo Lo Yishivenu Vafilo Nachash Keruch Al Kevo Lo Yafsik. All right, so you have three halachos over here. Number one, that when you get up to Davin, and typically when the Mishnah and the Gemara says the word Lehitpalel or Tfilah, it refers specifically to the Amidah, to the Shmoneh Esrei or the Chai Esrei. It refers specifically to that part of the tefillah, and that's the case over here. So it says, when you get up to daven, you have to do it with Kovid Rosh. Obviously, we're going to try to discuss what Kovid Rosh is, and we're going to see that the Gemara is going to use other terms and other descriptions of the proper mindset, which is our subject, the proper mindset for tefillah. The second halacha that it mentions is Chasidim Rishonim, that they used to wait an hour before davening. In other words, they used to sit and meditate and think and prepare themselves for an hour. Now, sometimes when a Mishnah or Gemara says Sha'a Achas, it really just means a moment or some undefined period of time. But many Rishonim actually say this means literally an hour. They would spend literally an hour, which becomes more striking because the Gemara later on explains that they would spend an hour before davening. They would spend an hour davening, and then they would, what's the word for it, decompress for an hour after davening. Reflect. So that's 9 hours devoted to tefillah a day, right? That leaves you 15 hours left to do everything else, you know, take away a few for sleeping, and how much time do you have left? 9 hours a day involved in tefillah. Halavai. So that's what they did. We'll see that we have somewhat of an analog today to this. Obviously not an hour, but we do have things that correspond to this.
My brother's theory was that what they did was that they said Tehillim, the whole book of Tehillim.
So do we.
And we have left the last six Mizmorim for Psukei Dezimra.
Exactly right. That's a very reasonable explanation. 100%. 100%.
That's why I have Psukei Dezimra.
Yeah. As we're going to see. Now, the last halacha is a little bit complicated. It says that even if a king asks you, you know, tries to speak to you, you shouldn't answer. And if a snake is coiled around your ankle, you shouldn't stop.
Heel, no?
Your heel. Sorry. Now, the Rishonim seem to assume that this is not a dangerous snake, or at least not a fatally deathly snake. And also, you're not assuming that the snake is going to attack you. It's just freaking you out, right? You're just scared. If it were to be dangerous, then you should move. I remember, based on this Mishnah, some people were confused when I was in NYU. I remember distinctly there was a Marav one time, when in the middle of the Marav, the fire alarm went off. And kind of people are like looking around the base measure, should we go or should we not go? We're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. There were a number of people that stayed inside. And a number of people that went outside. And it was probably based on this Mishnah that those people decided that they were going to stay inside. And eventually made their way out.
Maybe you know the name of there was a Rebbe in NYU who was davening Shmoneh Esrei at Mincha, happened to look out the window and saw somebody stealing his car.
Yeah.
And he kept saying Shmoneh Esrei.
I never heard that before.
And he didn't stop it. They were stealing his car. He didn't run out. Hey, you! Just
never heard
davening.
It before. Never heard it before? It's a good story, though.
How do you concentrate on something?
Ilan makes a great point. There's a very complicating fact over here, which is that typically, if you're going to have a hesech hadat because of something that happens in Shmoneh Esrei, for example, right? This is a classic case. You're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei and you realize, oh, wait a second, today is Rosh Chodesh, and I don't have a siddur in my hands. What am I going to do about Yalav Yavol? So what do you do? You just stand like an idiot and not say it? No, you walk over to the side. You got a sitter. You open the sitter. You stand there and you continue your Shmoneh Esrei. Let's say this happened all the time at Hask. When I was in Camp Hask, we were given strict instructions at the beginning of how to conduct ourselves, because in Camp Hask, it is more often than not, one of your children is going to throw a sitter across the room or start screaming in the middle of davening. Okay? More often than not. What do? So the answer is, you stop, you take them out of the room, you pick up the sitter, you do whatever it is that you need to do, and then you go back to davening. As long as you don't actually say anything, you can continue davening. That's the rule. As long as you don't actually say anything, and you're able to keep in mind what I'm doing right now, as soon as you can, you just stand still and you continue davening. So what's the deal with Afilu Nachash Karach Al Kavi? You can't concentrate while that's happening. Now, answering the king may be a different story, because answering the king, you'd have to talk, right? And that would be a real hefsek. The Gemara has a story in the middle of the Gemara about answering a king, which you'll get to in Daf Yomi. We won't get to it now. So there are complicating factors to this, which is why, as I always say, you cannot paskin from a Mishnah. All right? Never try to paskin from a Mishnah, especially in Brachot. There are so many Mishnayot that the halacha is not like the Mishnah. You guys went through it. There were dapim and dapim. Of Mishnah of there was a Mishnah about Balkeri and learning Torah and saying brachot, not la halacha, just not la halacha for about two dafim in the Gemara. You're learning stuff that in the end of the day we don't paskin that way. So be careful not to paskin for the Mishnah. Gemara, minani mili. How do we know? It's a funny question. How do we know that we have to have kovet rosh when we daven? What exactly is the Gemara asking about?
About what rosh?
They have COVID rosh. You have to be serious when you get up to daven. Okay. Now, obviously, first of all, you have to define what COVID rosh is. But beside from that, it's a funny question. Like, whatever COVID rosh is, I think everybody knows that they have to have it when you get up to daven. Like, what's the alternative?
Kalut rosh.
So Rashi says, yeah, that is the alternative. So Rashi says, in terms of COVID rosh, just look at the first Rashi in the Mishnah. He says, hachna'a. So what's hachna'a? Wah. Oh. What's hachna'a?
Ooh,
hachna'a means to be subservient. That means you have to have a mindset of being like, you know, I'm very low. I'm lowly. Okay? L'hachnia. That's what Rashi says. The Aruch, we don't have it here, but the Aruch actually says b'tza'ar. It says you have to be b'tza'ar. That's really heavy. You have to be b'tza'ar during Shmoneh Esrei. Interestingly, the Sefer called Veheyeh Bracha, it's interesting sefer, a lot of nistar in there, but over there he actually says interesting. He says it means that you have to have something on your head physically. He says mikan, you have to cover your head during the Amidah. This is one of the sources for covering your head during the Amidah. You have to have kovet rosh. You have to have something on top of your head. Interesting. Either way, the Gemara wonders minani mili. What's the source for kovet rosh during tefillah? Thank you very much, Ralph. So it's the Gemara says, Amar Belazar, Damar Kra, they're going to have a few attempts. Vaya Marat Nefesh, this is referring to Chana, when Chana was Marat Nefesh. Now over here, you know, you have over here that she's bitter. She's of bitter spirit. So the Gemara says, Mimai Dilma Chana Shani Dahavat Marili Batuva. No, you're going to use Chana. Chana was really upset. Of course she was Maraliba, she didn't have children. Right? You have to daven with yirah, with awe and with fear. Who's this? This is David HaMelech. David HaMelech is a good source, isn't he?
Oh, that's
me. So he says, no, maybe not. Dilma David Shani dahava mitzar nav sheberach mituva. No, over there, he was very upset. He was running from his children. So he was very, very upset. So maybe that's why he was... maybe that's why he was in such a severe mindset. But we don't have to have such a severe mindset, Rami Davin. This is not a good source for COVID Rosh. So the Gemara here gives a different answer. And it's going to be a staple in Gemara, but it causes people a lot of consternation when they try to figure out what exactly these things mean. It says, skip that one, sorry. Elam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mehacha Ishtachavu Lashem Be... Hadrat Kodesh. That's a beautiful pasuk. Hadrat Kodesh. What's Hadrat Kodesh? Right? In holy splendor. That's very nice. But the Gemara is not satisfied. It says, Al tikri Hadrat Kodesh, Hadrat Ela be Cherdat, Charada. To be Liyot Charedim, you have to be Chared when you go to daven. So they switched the word hadrat with cherdat. Why weren't they satisfied with hadrat? We don't know. But they wanted to switch with cherdat. Mimai diomalola meimelecha hadrat. No, maybe it really is hadrat mamish. What would it mean in the context of tefillah to be bahadrat kodesh? It would mean ki hadrav yudav mitzayin nafshi v'hadrat matzli. He would fix himself up. Okay, he would tuck his shirt in, put on a jacket, put on a tie. He would get dressed for davening, and then he would daven. So that would be hadrat kodesh, hadar, to be mehudar.
He do a mitzvah.
Exactly. So finally, you get to the final pasuk. Elam Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak mihacha ivdu at Hashem biyira vegilu berada. Internal contradiction over here. That you have to serve God with fear, and then you should tremble in joy. Gilu berada. Fear and trembling, joy and trembling. My vegilu berada. Amarava barmadna. Amarava b'makom gila sham teherada. Where you have gila, there you have to have rada. Now, where do you have gila? Apparently, you have gila in tefillah. And I think this kind of answers the question from before. Why do we need minani mili b'kovid rosh? Apparently, the assumption over here is that tefillah is, in its essence, an act of joy and an act of, I don't know what the right word is, an act of celebration and praise. And so a person may get carried away. That's the concern over here, it seems. Person may get carried away, and so the Mishnah has to say, no, b'kovid rosh. And how do I know this? Because it says b'gila b'rada, and it says b'makom gila sham teherada. What's the makom gila? Tefillah. So the working assumption over here was that the base level emotion a person feels when they are in the midst of tefillah is actually one of joy, and it needs to be tempered with seriousness. I don't know how many people that this is their experience of tefillah, but that seems to be the assumption of the Gemara. Yeah, good point. Well, I think in the context of communal tefillah, when it gets, you know, singing and dancing, that can happen. And so the point over here is it needs to be tempered. David, can I have the, is that root beer? Is that what that is?
Yeah, no, this is malt beer.
All right, I'll try that.
Not alcohol.
I know. I have no
they don't have root beer in Israel.
It's okay.
If they do it,
which actually is an expression of gratitude.
Excellent. And I want to get back to exactly that. We're going to get back to that soon. I want to run through this, though. This is a great Gemara over here. It says, give the brother thief. Amrle, oh no, where did I go? Here we go. Abaye avayativ kaveh de rabba. Why is Abaye sitting in front of Rabba? What's the relationship between Abaye and Rabba? Who knows? These are good things to know if you're doing daf yomi, because it'll help you put people in places in context. What's the relationship between Abaye and Rabba? No. Nope. Close.
Brother-in-law.
Close. Adoptive father. Abaye was an orphan. His name is Abaye. Different, conflicting reports, but one of the reasons that Rashi mentions his name is Abaye is because Rabba adopted him, and Rabba's father's name was Nachman, and Abaye's real name was Nachman, and he couldn't call him Nachman because it was his father's name, so he called him Abaye, like my father. This is good. Actually, it's not, but whatever. okay, so what happened? Abaye avayatev kamei de rabba. He was sitting in front of his adoptive father. Chazed have a kabad echtuva. And he saw Abaye was having too much fun. Abaye was joking around. He was enjoying himself. Amar, v'gilu barada k'tiv. Rabba said, what are you doing? V'gilu barada. You're davening. Amalei, ana tefillin manachta. Can you imagine your son responding this way? Your son is carrying on with his friends in the middle of davening. You tell him, you know, quiet down, and he responds, Abba, it's okay. I'm wearing tefillin. What is this response? What is this? What's happening? What kind of response is that?
They're wearing tefillin all day long in these days as well.
I don't know at what point they stopped. But actually, good point. That may be part of the story. What's pshat in Abaye? So there's two standard pshatim over here. One pshat is fancy schmancy, and the other one is just technical, historically cool. So we'll start with the second one first. Rabbeinu Yonah says that Abaye had intestinal trouble. He had stomach problems. And so he could not wear tefillin often. I don't know whether they lived in a time when they wore tefillin all the time. I don't know. But it could be that he, even on a regular day, couldn't wear tefillin during davening because of his stomach problems. So when he could, that's what made him so excited. He was saying, Simcha shel mitzvah of tefillin, I get to put on tefillin, of course that's why I'm excited. That's what he's telling his father. Telling him, I'm excited because I'm wearing tefillin, and I don't usually get to wear it. It's interesting because there's a whole story with the Baal Shem Tov. No, the Arizal. The Arizal, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah both record the minhag that used to be, everybody did this. Now you only see Anashim Bodidim doing this. That you're supposed to put on your tefillin at home and walk to shul in your tefillin. Or at least put your tefillin on before you come into shul. People don't do this anymore.
In Ramat Beit Shemesh, I see it all.
Of course, in Ramat Beit Shemesh, they do it. But many people don't do this.
I even see people that are driving to shul wearing their tefillin.
My best friend in yeshiva, he was Sephardi, so there was a lot of things going on over there. He would wake up in the morning. He would put his tefillin on in the room, put on his talis in the room, walk over to the mezuzah. He had a special prayer. He used to say the mezuzah. And then would literally run to shul from our dorm room. So imagine, he's wearing his talis and tefillin. His talis is billowing in the wind like a superhero, okay? All the way to shul. He did this for a year. It was fantastic. One of the best things I've ever seen. Anyways, why am I bringing this up? Because the Arizal says, the Arizal apparently did not do this. He did not wear his tefillin into shul. He put on his tefillin when he got to shul. So there are different explanations for why this is. One is that he didn't hold this minhag. But the other explanation mentioned in the Aruch HaShulchan, and it's definitely in the Aruch HaShulchan, I think it's in the Mishnah as well, was that the Arizal had
intestinal
problems. Chole me'ayim. And so he couldn't wear his tefillin. He could only wear his tefillin for a limited amount of time. So he waited until he got the shul. That's why he did it. Because he had intestinal problems, so when you have that kind of situation, so you put on your tefillin for the shortest amount possible, so that you don't have, have to flatulate, you don't have to go to the bathroom. That's what you do.
There was a guy yesterday.
Can we just wait? Okay. So that was one story. The other explanation for Abaye is different. This is attributed. The Rav has this in his Shirim Zechar B'Mari. The Maritz Chayos has this. There are many people with this explanation that, no, tefillin is a special property, that it completely changes a person. And as it's almost like a force field. We learned this when we were learning the Gemara in Menachos. The Rav describes the difference between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. Do you remember? We make different brachos. Do you remember his explanation for the different brachos? Why do we make laniach tefillin on the shel yad and al mitzvah tefillin on the shel rosh? Why do we do that? So the Rav said, it's meduik in the psukim, because it says, ukshartam liot al yadecha, which means that it's an action that you're performing with the tefillin. So it's lahaniach tefillin on the shal yad. But the shal rosh, it says, what does it say?
Vayu.
Vayu tatafot ben inecha, which means that they're supposed to be there. Which means that it's the existence of the tefillin on your head that is the mitzvah. So it's meduik in the Rambam. The Rambam says that it changes you as a person when you're wearing the tefillin. And so many say that that's what Abaye was saying. He's saying it's okay for me to be frivolous because I'm guarded by my tefillin. Okay. Vayter. Rav Yirmiyahu v'yativ kamei Rabbi Zeira. Chaz dehav v'kabad d'chtuva. Same thing. He was sitting and he saw he was laughing. Amalei b'kol etzev yiyah mutar. Ktiv. He's not supposed to be so happy. Amalei ana tefillin manachna. Okay, I don't know whether he also had stomach problems or not. Don't know. My brei d'ravina avad hilula l'brei. This is a famous Gemara. He was making a party. It was a wedding, I believe. Wedding for his son. Chaz nehu l'rabbanan d'kavu kabad d'chtuva. The rabbis, the guests, were having way too much fun. As they do, ayti kasa demokra bat arba me'azuze. They brought a very very fancy cup. It doesn't say it was made out of glass. It just says it was very very fancy. V'tavar kamayu. What's v'tavar?
Smashed it.
How do you know v'tavar is smash?
Shavar.
The taf is replaced with a shin. V'shavar kamayu v'atzivu. And everybody calmed down and game set.
I tested you on this. Yeah. Why is it that this is the makar that we have for smashing glass?
Yeah.
But after the glass that we smash under the chuppah is actually a very basic. It's the most basic thing that we can have.
Meaning, as opposed to like a silver goblet?
Yeah, why aren't we? We would like, I don't know, an expensive crystal glass. You can buy an expensive crystal glass, I don't know, whatever. Why are we smashing? It's something which really isn't worth anything that we're smashing, and it's whatever.
So the wedding thing is loosely based on it. The Tosas at the top, right here. Aiti kasa dezugita chivrita. That's actually on the next part of the Gemara. Mikan nagul l'shaber zchuchit benisuin. It could be that it's just the sound. It doesn't really matter whether it's precious. It's just the sound of things that are breaking. Of course, we've ruined this, right? Because we yell out Mazel Tov right afterwards, right? And it's almost, it's a knee-jerk reaction. If somebody drops something now and it smashes, so you yell out Mazel Tov, it's the most joyous thing ever, right? To the point that when people... Okay, well, people occasionally try to make this more serious by doing, let's say, the breaking of the glass in the middle of Shir Malos. What sometimes happens is that people scream Mazel Tov in the middle of the song of Yveshkachech, sorry. In the middle of Yveshkachech. But okay, no. This is because this is good for funny people.
And use them instead of glass.
Really? Light bulbs?
That's what we did when we for caterer.
Really?
We're dead.
The caterer uses old light bulbs and save them for the front of the chuppah.
Is it the caterer that usually provides the
glass?
Interesting. Okay. So, v'tamer kamei v'atzi Rav Ashi avad hilula brei chazni l'rabbanu d'havu kabat chidhu v'ayti kasa d'zuki d'chivrta. That's what Tosfos is saying. This is a glass cup. And v'tamer kamei v'atzi vu amri l'rabbanu l'rafam nuna zuti behilula d'mar brei d'ravina lishri lan this is they said this to the this is great. The Rabbanan said to Rav Amnuna at a wedding, the wedding of Marbrei Dervina, Lishri Lan Mar, sing us something. Sing us a song. Amrelu, Vailan de Mistan, Vailan de Mistan. Woe to us, we're gonna die. Woe to us, we're gonna die. Right? This is what they sing under the chuppah.
That's how you do simchat chatan v'chalah.
Right? So that's a little strange, right? But that's what he's saying. So they thought it was strange too. I'm really anan manani batrecho. What are we supposed to say to that? How are we supposed to answer that? I'm like, hi Torah v'hai mitzvah demagnu alan. Okay, make sure that you have Torah and mitzvahs to protect you. But if you don't have them, then they're not going to protect you. You have to be serious. Fine. I'm Rav Yochum Mishum Rashbi. This is one of my least favorite gemaras. Asur la'adam shimal yischok piv ba'olam hazeh. Shenemar, az yimalei schok pinu ulshoneinu rina. You cannot fill your mouth with schok in this world. Because, as the pasuk says, then, az yimalei schok pinu. When is az?
Olam haba.
So it's interesting.
Olam haba.
Olam haba, it would seem, right? I mean, according to the gemara, it's olam haba. See, I would have expected that it would be, I don't know, Beis HaMikdash, right? But that's not the pashtus of Olam Hazeh versus Olam Haba. It's not how we normally understand those things. Ulishonein Arina. Ematai. But then the Gemara continues and says, Ematai, Bezman Sheyomru Bagoyim, Higdo Hashem Lasoti Meile. Amru Allah, Lasoti Meile. When will you do that? When even the non-Jews acknowledge how great Hashem is with us. Amru Allah, Rish Lakish, Shememav, Yimiyamav, Lo Emile Yischok Pibo Olam Hazeh, Michishama, Mirab Yochanan Rabbe. Rish Lakish, from the time that he heard this teaching from Mirab Yochanan, who was his chavrusa and his rabbi, he never left.
Is that when he did Chazav Betshuva?
We don't know. Obviously, it was after his Chazav Betshuva, but at what point, I don't know. And the ending of the Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish story is not very happy. So, yeah. Okay. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein omdim litpala lo mitoch din v'lo mitoch dvar halacha. Ela mitoch halacha psuka. This is going to be one of the alternatives to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, mitoch kovid rosh. Here, we find out that if you're learning Torah before davening, so you have to make sure that you're not learning the kind of thing that's going to distract you. Not din. You know, you're actually involved in a Beit Din. You're going to be thinking about that during davening. And also, you shouldn't be learning Dvar Halacha, which is complicated. Rather, it should be a simple Halacha. And we're going to run through this, because this is not so relevant for us. Hey, Chidami Halacha Psuka. What's Halacha Psuka? So I'll give you three examples. I'm not going to explain them, because it will take too long, and they're not relevant for our sugya. Amar Abaye Ki Yadar Avzeir Adam Avzeir Abnos Yisrael Yichmiru Alatzman Shafila Roti Padam Kechardal Yoshevet Alea Shiva Nikiyim. That's one. Rava Amar Ki Yadar Avoshaya Adam Avoshaya Marim Adam Al Tuvato Machnisa B'mot Shala Kadesh Tehi Behem To Ochelet Uptura Min HaMaaseh. That's two. V'bayit Ema Ki Yadar Avuna Adam Avuna Amar Avzeir Hamakis Dam Behemat Kodshim Aser Vana Umolin Bo Rabbanan. Rabbanan Avdi Kematnitin Rav Ashi Avid Kebraita. Meaning, Rav Huna, meaning, the Rabbanan did like the Mishnah, and Rav Ashi did like the Braita. What does that mean? Rashi says, "B'matnitin mitoch kovet rosh," and the Braita is mitoch halacha psuka, which means that this is a machlokas. Mm-hmm. It's very strange, right? And apparently, halacha psuka is incompatible with kovod rosh. Otherwise, there's no machlokas over here, right? Because it says that Rabbanan did like the Mishnah, that they davened with kovod rosh, and Rav Ashi did like the Braita, and he davened from halacha psuka. It's interesting that those should be intention. They're not. They don't go hand in hand. All right, and there's one more. Tana Rabbanan. Ein omdim litpal lo mitoch atzvot, lo mitoch atzlut, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch sichav, lo mitoch kalut rosh, lo mitoch dvarim betelim. Not from nonsense. El mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. There's a girsa that says just simcha, but fine. Mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. V'chein lo yipater adam mechaviru lo mitoch sichav, lo mitoch schok, lo mitoch kalut rosh, lo mitoch dvarim betelim, lo mitoch dvar halacha. Actually, sorry, over here it's supposed to say simcha shel mitzvah. If you look over the side, the Hagat Agra, I don't know if you guys have it, because it might be cut off, the Hagat Agra changes Dvar Halacha to Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Okay, you may not have it. Yeah, you got cut off. Okay, fine. Shekem Atzinu B'Nevi'im Arishonim Shesim B'Divrei B'Divrei Shevach V'Tanchumim. Okay, you're going to have a few proof texts over here. That the V'im used to do that as well. When they would leave each other, they would do it with Simcha. Here it seems to clearly be Dvar Halacha. And actually, when my son and I, we went to an interview in one of the yeshivas for high school, it was the strangest interview. We had a 10-minute interview. He barely asked Ezra any questions. He spent 5 minutes telling us a Dvar Torah. And he said the reason was because the Gemara says that if you tell somebody a Dvar Halacha, then you'll remember each other. I don't know what the point of that was, but okay, fine. Well,
obviously you remembered him.
I don't remember the Dvar Torah.
Did he go to...
No. Ki ad Rav Kahana, alvei l'Rav Simi Barashi, mipum nara ad beit snita de Bavel. So Rav Kahana was going with Rav Simi Barashi from the river till what's Beit Snita, the Bavel, until the a place. Beit Snita in Bavel. It's a place. Kimat al hatam armelei maravadai damri inchi hanit snita de Bavel itnu me'adam arishon v'ad hashta. People have definitely been in this place. Hanit snita, the palm trees, right? Snita. It's for sure that these palm trees have been from the time of Adam arishon until now. That's what people say. Amalei ad kartan milta. He said, "You remind me of something." The Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. The Rav Yosi b'Rabbi Chanina. May dechti ba'aretz asher lo avar ba ish v'lo yashav adam sham v'chim yachad lo avar heach yashav. Elomay lecha kol eretz shegazar ale adam rishon leishov nityashva v'chol eretz shelo gazar ale adam rishon leishov lo nityashva. Any place where Adam actually walked, people live, and any place where he didn't walk, people don't live. That was a long walk. Right, he had lots of years. I don't know what this means exactly.
Is
I don't know
where
whether
he
it's
walks or where he.
Where he walked, it says.
Or where he decreed, where he decided. To be Yeshua, I suppose. He
no, kol eretz shegazar ala Adam rishon lishov. Oh, I see what you're saying. Wherever Adam said that people should live, that's where they live.
Not necessarily walk.
Yeah, you're right. He probably had to be there in order to do that. Yeah.
At least he was aware of the places.
Right. Right. Well, we don't exactly know what this means. Rav Mordechai Alvei l'Rav Shimi Barashi Mahagurnya v'ad Beikipi v'amrila ad Beidur. Okay, it's telling us about walks that they used to have. Not exactly sure the relevance.
Yeah, these were big. These were massive distances apparently.
Ah, okay.
I can't remember exactly.
Interesting. The article quotes the Meiri. I didn't notice this, that the Meiri says that the point of it is actually the inverse of the rest of the Gemara. It's to tell you that, because it doesn't say they left each other with Dvar Halacha. It's tell you that you don't have to do that. It's not a chiyuv. You don't have to say a Dvar Halacha every time you leave somebody. Okay? And that's not the Menei Gemakom. In fact, Rabbi Rosner told a joke. He said that apparently some Hasidic Rebbe said that what this really means is that if you want somebody to leave you, then say it Dvar Halacha. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Hamitpalel Tzarech Shichav Re'libo L'Shamayim. It seems obvious. You have to have in mind Hashem. Abba Shalom Omer Simel L'Davar Tachin Libam Tekshiv Aznecha. prepare your heart. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Kachai Menhagosh Rabbi Akiva. When he would daven as the chazan or in a tzibur where he knew they were waiting for him, then he would daven quickly. If you leave him in a room, he would be bouncing off the walls, he would go from one place to another like a Nachman. Right? He would be all over the place.
But it means, we're learning from here that there were times Rabbi Akiva did not daven with a minion.
That's true. That's true. Also means he was jumping all over the place. Tosus has a problem
maybe
with that.
He was saying some extras.
Right. Maybe
after he died with the minion, he...
Well, Tosus assumes that he's saying Shmon Esrei because Tosus is bothered by the fact that he's jumping all over the place. Because he says you're only supposed to bow four times during Shmon Esrei. How far can he get?
Cholotzma is like tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, okay, but...
When you say jumping all over the place, I mean, like, I'm kind of like expecting, like visualizing Kishi Rabbit. I mean, like, what it means he...
Well, it says, kol kach lamem nekriyot v'shtachavayot, because of the bowing that he was doing.
So in other words, he was shuffling, bowing, I guess. Was he shuffling, or did he get down on his knees and bow?
No, like, I don't think it was like, no. No, because we have rules about like how you're supposed to bow.
Fervently davening, yeah. So to speak.
Yeah. I mean, if you look, Tosus is on the bottom left, so he says, Tema, damer lekamen, habalish schot, besof kol bracha bracha, lamem de tosh lo yischa. You're not supposed to bow every bracha. So he says, oh, so good. So Ralph, here's your answer. So this is your answer. So Rabbeinu Yosef says, Hachamayir b'tachnunim. It wasn't Shmon Esrei. It was Stam. He was praying to Hashem. Shaya Omer achar yudchet brachot. But Tosus doesn't like this answer. V'loni hira. Dam yudchet kamar. It sounds like it's Shmon Esrei. V'nira la'ari davade besof kol bracha asur l'schot avol be'emtza bracha miyamut. Okay. You find some alternative answers over here to try to figure out what Rabbi Akiva was doing over here. But fine. Now we'll continue with the Gemara. Finish off over here. Amar b'chir b'rabba. Le'olam. You know what? Let's skip this section and just jump to the bottom because I want to. No, sorry. Let's not skip this section. Amar b'chir b'rabba. Le'olam yifal adam b'bayit sheyesh bo chalonot. You should always daven in a house that has windows. Shne'amar. Ve'chavin pitchichan lei. You have to have openings. Yechol yifal adam kol hayom kulo. Oh. You might think that you could daven whatever you want. You have three times a day. Maybe that's only in Galut, that's true. They used to do this all the time. This is what they always did. Right? That's the proper way to do it.
What's this got to do with the windows?
Nothing.
Unless you look at the window, you see whether it's dark or not.
Yeah, no, the window's interesting because apparently...
You think that's what it was?
One of the halachas that we're learning in the moment is that the halachas of the Beis Knesset.
Yeah.
And the windows, you shouldn't have windows you can see out of, and that's the why you have like in the
chur, high windows.
A lot of old shuls, you have stained glass windows.
And they're high also
they're
usually.
High. You shouldn't, actually, even here, the windows are designed that you actually can't see out
that's
of
right.
them, but there are windows there.
Uh-huh.
But then it goes on. I think it's on the
right. This is probably
the
probably the second part. Yeah, yeah.
It talks about 12 second part windows, specifically 12.
Yeah. Right, yeah, but that's not here. I think the reason why it's bringing this here is actually for the second half of the Braita, because it says, "Yachal Adam Yitzbal Lechol Ruach Sheyirta." You might think that you could dive in any direction you want. Tamalom or Negi Yerushalayim. So that might be the reason. It's giving you a bunch of different rules about how you daven. Maybe you might think that you could daven all three tefillot at once. You know, get them all done. Is an important gemara. You might think that you're allowed to raise your voice while davening. In other words, to daven out loud. Your Shmon Esrei. He could not hear her voice. Eli could not hear her voice. Yachal yushal adam tzrachav v'achar kach yitpalel. You might think that you should get your stuff done and then, that you should ask for your own needs first and then praise God. Kfar mefor shalidei shlomo shne'emar lishmo ala rina ve'la tfila. Rina zu tfila, tfila zu bakasha. This is going to be confusing because tfila is used in two different ways over here. When it says rina zu tfila, it means praise. And then tefillah, the word tefillah in the Navi means bakasha. Yeah. So you have to have rina and then tefillah. You have to have tefillah and then bakasha. In other words, praise and then bakasha. And we know the full story is that you have to have shevach, bakasha, and then hodah.
Well, that's what we have. Rina is a tefillah.
Rina is a tefillah, tefillah is a bakasha. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say the third part.
Yeah.
The Hoda. Ein Omer. So it was your bakasha.
I think we cut off.
It was cut off here. We
have, what?
We don't have that bottom line.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, we'll have to listen to you.
You listen to me. Oh, I'm sorry. Tulas Rabakasha. Ein Omer Dabar Achar Emet Viativ. You don't say anything after Emet Viativ. Aval Achar Tfila Afilu Kaseder Vidoi Shal Yom Kippurim. Omer, you can say whatever you want. You know what? That's fine. I'm going to jump to the next part, which is important. I'm sorry that you don't have it. Amar Av Hamnuna. This is one of the most famous sections in Brachot. This is all the halachot that we learn from Chana. Amar Av Hamnuna Kami Halacha Da Gvirta Ika Lamashma Mahani Krai Da Chana. How many halachot we can learn from the Pesukim by Chana? Number one, v'chani himedaberet al liba. Mikan leitpalel sheich sheichaben libo. You have to have, your heart has to be in it. Rak sfateh naot. Her lips are moving. Mikan leitpalel sheichtoch b'sfatav. This is something that many people don't know. When you daven, you have to say the words. You don't scan them from the sidur. You have to say them with your mouth. Sfateh naot. Mikan leitpalel sheichtoch b'sfatav. V'kolal lo yishama. Mikan sheasur lahagbia kolo b'tfilato. And he thought that I was drunk. Mikan sheshikor asur lehitpalel. From here you learn that a drunk person cannot daven. Okay, we'll stop there because that's what I wanted to get to. Mer Marif. More per Marif. People usually eat after Mincha. Can I have some of the beer?
Hold on, ask what's drunk?
Good. Like, we're going to talk about
one
it.
One or two shots of whiskey or one glass of wine. I mean,
you should have come to last night's stream.
So let's see.
You know what?
So let's see.
That has been defined.
Let's see.
Should have come to last night's stream on drugs.
Hello. We're going to talk exactly about that. I want to talk about two topics. You can turn to the source sheets. I want to talk about two topics. Number one is the Simcha Shel Mitzvah and that whole section over there that we had about, you know, Alit Palal Elimitoch something. And then, in the second half, we'll talk about drunkenness and how drunkenness impacts tefillah.
A question to ask you. If I've had a shot of whiskey, can I call out Kohanim or not? Do they say no? Well, I'm asking,
I don't know
what the story is.
I don't know what the relationship between a shot of whiskey and calling out Kohanim. I would assume that you could, but I don't want to be quoted saying that. Okay, so here we go. So you'll notice that over the course of the Gemara, we were told of at least three ingredients that were supposed to happen, that we're supposed to have when we get up to daven. What were they? We had, in the Mishnah we had, Kovad Rosh. In the Gemara at first we had, Halacha Psuka. And then finally we had, Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Which one? And what do they all mean? What do they all mean? So let's focus on the Simcha Shel Mitzvah business for a second, and try to figure out what it is. So if you take a look at the Rif is Rav Afasi, one of the great early Rishonim. The Rif is well studied, or used to be well studied, not so much anymore. But what he did was, is he took all of the Gemara, and he edited it in such a way that he only wrote down the Halacha Psukah. In other words, whatever he felt was the proper opinion, he put that in. So most of the stories are left out. And most of the opinions are left out, and he just put in the opinion that he felt. So that's how you would know what the halakha was. That is the purpose of the Rif. So he writes over here, and that's important for the following reason. He says, Darash Rabbi Simlai, Yolam Yisader Adam Shivcho Shal Makom V'achar Kach Yitpalel. Min Alan, Mimosha, Dechtiv Hashem Elokim Atach Ilota, Uchtiv Batrei Evana V'ere. Okay, so he quotes Rabbi Simlai, who says that a person should arrange the shevach of Hashem, right? You should do shevach, and then you should daven for the things that he wanted, just like Moshe did. And then he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, Garsina per kol kisvei, Amar b'yose yehi chalkim gomrei halal b'kol yom. I wish that I could be like one of those who finishes halal every day. Now, the Gemara says, really? Ini? V'hamar ha'kore halal b'kol yom, harizim ha'charif megadif. You're not allowed to say halal every day. You're not allowed to. So the Gemara explains, no, he was talking about Psuki de Zimra, which is a smaller form of halal.
So he wishes he could say Psuki de Zimra every day?
Yes. They didn't have a Sidur. They didn't have a Sidur, so it just means that he wants to be able to finish all of Psuki de Zimra, let's say. Umaynihu, so the Rif says, Baruch Shamar v'ishtabach, from Baruch Shamar to Ishtabach, Helkach mibayle le'inish de lo li'ishtui mikhi matchel ba'baruch Shamar ad misayim ishmon esrei. Shouldn't talk or a pause in between. Now, why do I bring this? Because the Rif is bringing this on our Gemara. So, according to the Rif, this is what Simcha Shel Mitzvah is. This is what Simcha Shel Mitzvah is. Psukei Dezimra. That's the purpose of it.
This is Hodah. The Simcha is the Hodah.
This is the Shevach. It's Shevach.
It's Shevach.
That is the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Now, it's interesting to contrast, not contrast, but actually to be informed. Take a look at the Gemara. See if you have on Amud Bet, sorry, on Amud Aleph, rather, the bigger one. Do you have Tosfot, the fourth Tosfot, Rabbanan Avdei Kematnitin?
What is it again?
Rabbanan Avdei Kematnitin. It's Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. You probably don't have that, though. It's the long one that we read. It's the long page. Tosfot on the left side. Tosfot on the left side.
No.
What?
Yeah,
really?
Side.
Yeah,
we do.
You do.
Rabbanan Avdei Kematnitin. Yeah. Rabbanan
Okay, got it.
So he says, V'kavatayu kaimelan, and we hold like that. So this is according to Tosfos, this is the explanation for Kovid Rosh. Okay? What is it? V'lachein ein mitalin mitoch kolut rosh, v'schok, el mitoch Kovid Rosh. V'simcha shel mitzvah. So he combines
Kovid
Rosh and Simcha shel mitzvah, which... He just leaves out halacha psuka. He combines those two, and what's his explanation? Kegon shasak v'divrei Torah v'lachein nagu lomar psuki dezimra v'ashrei kodem l'tfila. And he says, how do we do this? How do we fulfill this? By saying psuki dezimra. But notice what he says: kegon shasak v'divrei Torah.
What's the divrei Torah? It's the kabbalas.
No.
What's the divrei Torah?
Psuki dezimra. According to Tosfot, what's the purpose of the Psuki Dezimra?
Simcha.
How? Why does it give you Simcha Shel Mitzvah?
As you say, Shevach.
Did Tosfot say the word Shevach here at all? Anywhere?
By the way, why did he split up Ashrei and Psuki Dezimra?
Let's finish this. What's the answer?
What does Tosfot say this is?
He says that this is a Suk B'Torah.
So what's Simcha Shel Mitzvah?
Torah.
Isuk B'Mitzvah. The purpose, according to Tosfos, of Psuki Dezimra is to be Osek B'Divrei Torah. Not L'Shabach. They happen to be Shabach, but it's to be Osek B'Divrei Torah.
Why did he split up Psuki Dezimra and Ashrei? Why did he specifically split up Ashrei here? Is Ashrei not really part of Psuki Dezimra?
I don't know. Now,
maybe it's Ashrei Mincha.
Oh, that could be Ashrei Mincha. Now, I want to do two more things over here. So, first of all, Shulchan Aruch, halacha psuka. Not so psuka though, even though he says it. Ein omdim lehitpalel mitoch din v'lo mitoch halacha shelo yehi libo tarud ba elo mitoch halacha psuka. Interesting. The Shulchan Aruch, in a way, just paskened like the Breita. And not like what Tosfot said. Now, it's true that the Shulchan Aruch isn't saying that you have to have halacha psuka before you daven. And for that matter, it could be that the Gemara doesn't say that either. It just says you're not allowed to learn complicated sugyot before you daven. I remember one time I gave a Dvar Torah, and at the end of the Dvar Torah, I said, oh, I have a question for anybody. Anybody wants to give me the answer? I'm not going to give you the answer here. But here's the question on the parasha. And then we got into Ma'ariv. And actually, one of the congregants came over to me after. He says, you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that because you've got people thinking about it during davening. He was probably right. Now, the Ramah says, V'hainu nami kemo mitoch simcha, ki p'kudi Hashem yisarim misam chelo lev. Now, what is the Ramah commenting on? He seems to be saying that you should learn, you should be davening mitoch halacha psuka. And what's the reason why you should be? This is an amazing Ramah. What's the reason why you should be we should be davening after learning halacha psuka?
Makes you happy.
Because divrei Torah make you happy. Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. By the way, what is that pasuk the source for? For which prohibition, actually?
What's the pasuk again, please?
Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesamchei Lev. This is the source for certain people not being allowed to learn Torah.
Oh, Avelim.
Avelim. Avelim are not allowed to learn Torah because of this pasuk, because it makes them happy. Also Tisha B'Av. That's why you're allowed to learn sad things or things that are nogei l'halacha. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah comments and says, Lo mitoch, Ritzono domar, de mitzah min amuvchar. So he says, mitzah min amuvchar to do like the Braita. Mitzah min amuvchar, she'eno amdim ala mitoch ema v'achna, ela kevan she... Sorry, he says, mitzah min amuvchar is that you should be out of hachna'a. That was based on Rashi, remember? That's how Rashi interpreted Kovid Rosh. Hachna'a is subservience or lowliness. Ela kevan de ein... I love this. Ke'ein kol echad yachol yizaher. We can't all handle that. We can't all handle that sense of fear and dread. You shouldn't be doing it from schok, but rather from simcha shel mitzvah. What mitzvah? Talmud Torah. Psuka, he says, she'ein ba'iyun v'lo machloket, k'dei sh'lo yitared a'yideze b'tfilah. Something that doesn't require too much thinking and doesn't have machloket, so that it shouldn't bother you. Mikol makom, im asak bepilpul halacha, v'itchilu hatzibur l'itpalel, do you run out of the room? Let's say we finish this shiur, and people start streaming in, and I finish at 9:59. Do we all run out of the room and go, I don't know, watch some TV, and then come back? Like, what do we do? So he says, no, you stay in, and this is going to be a common theme general, but also I think we'll see it twice tonight. You should daven with them. Ubefrat achshav shein mechavnim kolkach betfilah v'lo yizhiru el lechatchila shelo yasuk bepilpul kotem betfilah. Anyways, nowadays we're all amateurs and we don't know how to have kavanah. Anyways, so...
This is one of the reasons we daven in a minyan, right? Because supposedly the collective...
It's going to be more powerful, yeah. Of course you're supposed to have, yeah, definitely going to have more efficacy if you daven with a minyan.
You feel the energy from other people.
Yeah.
Why we have the Mishnah, as you said, at the beginning of Shacharis,
they're supposed to be without machloket. They're without machloket. I hadn't thought of it that way. I'd always heard, oh, these Mishnah are special because they don't have machloket, but I hadn't realized that this is probably what's... what the motive for that is. I hadn't actually thought of that. Now, here I have, so the Rishimot Shirim, this is Rav Salvechik, this is published posthumously. It's very, very nice. It's on Maseches Brachos. They have, I think, on Nedarim and Shavuos and Bava Kama, I think they put out. And this is very, very nice. And he has a whole piece over here. Now, Im Kol HaKavod, I think you have to take much of this with a grain of salt, what we're about to see, because he's going to try to give us three understandings, according to the Rambam, of the interplay between tefillah and Torah in our context. But I don't think any of them really capture what the Rambam himself might have said in terms of the sugya, because the Rambam says very dry things when bringing down the halakha in this sugya. He pretty much says everything we said. However, nevertheless... just to have some extra nice Divrei Torah coming out of this, let's see what the Rav has to say of Yosef Dov HaLevi Salvechik. So he has three different ways of understanding what the relationship between Torah and Tefillah are for our purposes. Number one, quotes the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos. These are actually good to know anyways. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos says that the fifth mitzvah in the Torah, fifth mitzvah's asay, not chronologically according to the Parshiot, but the fifth one that he counts, is the mitzvah of Tefillah. He should see Vanu La'avdo Yit'ale, to serve him. And he gets this from U'la'avdo B'chol Avchem, along with other psukim that use the word avodah, because ein avodah ela tefillah. Okay? Now what's interesting, he says, V'lashon sifri U'la'avdo zu tefillah, V'amu gam kein U'la'avdo zu ze Talmud. Which means that the word that the Torah uses for tefillah, according to the Rambam himself, is also a word that's associated with Talmud Torah. Yeah. So the Rav says it could be that the reason why we have a focus on learning Torah, this is what he's focused on, why should there be a value in learning Torah? If we see, according to Tosos, that Psuki de Zimmer is a form of Limud Torah, Why would we want to be learning Torah before davening? Why is that important? So he says, because a person who is involved in learning Torah, only that kind of person can be involved in the next level of that avodah, which is tefillah. In other words, you start doing avodat Hashem in Talmud Torah, and then it continues into avodat Hashem of tefillah. They're just two sides of the same coin. That's reason number one. That's one understanding.
Then
just
it makes
the
sense to call Tzukei Zimla also Limud Torah, because
100%. That's what Tosfot said. That's what he's going with. That's what he's going on. That's what he's going on. The second one says as follows: the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says, "Mishar Atzal Diskot Beketra Torah Yizaher Bekol Lilotav." ולא יעבר אפילו אחד מהן בשינה ואכילה ושתייה ושיחה וחיוצה בהן, אבל תלמוד תורה ודברי חוכמה. Person who really wants to be zochet to keter Torah, which is a high level, it's not for everybody, he spends all of his nights only learning Torah and not doing anything else. All right. אמרו חכמים, אין רינה של תורה אלא בלילה, שנאמר קומי רוני בלילה. The rina of that pasuk, of קומי רוני בלילה, is the rina של Torah. And it happens at night. Okay, fine. Now, what's fascinating about this is this pasuk, right? Kumi roni balayla. Where else do we see that pasuk? That's Eicha. Sorry, it's not actually the same pasuk. However, it's not the same pasuk, but what I'm thinking of is in our Gemara, I don't know if this is after you guys got cut off. Yeah, I think it was the line that you got. No, it was the line before you got cut off. Yikfar mefurash al yidei Shlomo shneamar lishmoa el harina ve'el ha'tfila. Rina zu tfila, tfila zu bakasha. Which means that rina, once again, rina is in some contexts associated with tfila, and in other is associated with Talmud Torah. That's what this seems to say. Right?
What is the rina in gila rina ditza
v'chedva? Which one of them is it? Don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question. Now, the Rambam is basing this actually on a Medrash and Shirashirim that I put for you over there. Just one second. I just wanted to remember the point that he wanted to make from this. So this was, you know, if the other one was saying that L'Ovdo, right, is another form of avodah. This one is saying that sometimes Talmud Torah can itself be a form of tefillah. Why? Because Talmud Torah, especially in this kind, is a form of praise. Right? It's a form of praise. You're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu by learning His Torah. You're saying, look how beautiful His Torah is. Look how beautiful His halacha is. Look how beautiful these psukim and tanakh are. That itself is like a tefillah. It's like being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it. Like it's almost like you want to honor a great actor, so you show clips from his movies because you say this is what he's honored for. You don't just enjoy the movies; they're also a testament to his greatness. So we learn halacha and we learn Gemara and we learn Torah, and that itself is a form of tefillah. We're warming ourselves up by praising Hashem through his works, through his record. And then we jump into tefillah after that.
Is that what Limud Torah Lishma? That's what the Lishma is.
So he seems to be saying that that's what the Rina is. That the Rina of Talmud Torah is tefillah. Which makes sense, right? The Shira, right? Torah is also a Shira. Mm-hmm. Shira is a Lashon of tefillah. The Torah is literally called a Shira. When it says, Kitfu Lechemet HaShira Azot, according to Halacha, that's the entire Torah.
Is also Shira.
Yeah. So the learning of Torah is itself tefillah. Finally, the last one is the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. So he says that we, before we daven, we say Kriyat Shema. Why do we do that? So it's to accept upon ourselves, O Malchut Shemayim, before we daven. So the Rav says, well, by learning Torah, we're accepting upon ourselves the Ol of Halacha. And we're accepting upon ourselves Torah. So it's an appropriate thing to do before you daven, is to acknowledge, okay, Hashem, we're going to first follow you, and then we can ask you for things. So those are different ideas. The thrust of the Rav's point, this is a very common theme in the Rav, in all of his Svarim. The Rav believed that the purpose of Psukei de Zimra was what we call a matir. When you want to eat food, in order to eat the food, what do you have to do? You have to make a bracha. That's called a matir. It's called a matir on the food. It allows you to eat the food. Apparently, to daven, we need a special permission. It's not so simple that we can just daven whenever we want. You need special permission. So that's the purpose of the Psukei de Zimra, is to be matir the tefillah. The two nafkaminas for this, obviously, is that it's important to say Psukei de Zimra before you daven, because otherwise, you know, maybe you're not allowed to daven. But the other one is, what happens if you didn't say Psukei de Zimra? What happens if you get to shul and they're already up to Shmoneh Esrei? So what's the proper thing to do? So you jump to Shema, right? You jump to Berachas Kriyat Shema, and then you get to Shmoneh Esrei. Now, what do you do after that? So the Haggadot Maimoniot quotes the Aruch, who says there's no point in going back. Psukei de Zimra was established for before Shmoneh Esrei, for the before davening. There's no point in doing it afterwards. It's not what it's for. The Rav says, of course it's not for that, because it's a matir. There's nothing to be matir anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, I do know that many people do have the minhag, that if they are late, in fact, some Tamidim of the Rav, I've seen them, after, if they arrive late in shul, or I was once in a minyan where a certain person was supposed to be going to a different minyan, they got dragged into into an earlier minyan, and so he missed all of Psukei de Zimra. And I saw him with my own eyes, a great Rav. After davening, he sat down to say Psukei de Zimra. I didn't ask him why he didn't follow the Rav. Yeah, it can't hurt, but yeah.
But I've heard opinions saying that, no doubt on Arvit, if you come late, you go jump into the Amidah.
Yes, that's the difference between Shacharit and Arvit.
People saying that you should do Brachot Baruch Shamar Ashrei.
Okay, so it's not opinion, that's halacha. In Mariv, if you get there and they're up to Shmoneh Esrei, you jump in the Shmoneh Esrei, and then you say everything afterwards. In Shacharit, if you get there and they're already in Shmoneh Esrei, so you do whatever you can in order to catch up with them at Chazarat HaShatz. You do not jump straight into Shmoneh Esrei. You for sure at least say Birchot Kriyat Shema and Kriyat Shema before Shmoneh Esrei because of Smichat Geula LeTfilah. You have to do that. Whether or not you should, you don't have to say all the brachot, because the brachot themselves you could say afterwards.
Yeah,
that you could say afterwards.
But he probably didn't say the brachot, the Baruch Shema and Yishtabach.
Who?
No,
he wouldn't have said that.
It would be without bracha.
Yeah.
If I was
going to
write a
safer,
it would be the
chiddushim
of what to do when you arrive late in shul.
Oh, there's seif in Mishachanach about that.
Yeah, right.
There's lots of seif. And the article has a nice thing at the back of it. It tells you there are graphs. One of my Rebbe in Shan Aleph, he spent the morning with us telling us exactly what to do if he came late.
The
problem is that if you don't learn it, right, so you don't have time to learn it when you're actually late.
I remember Kit Hazayin, we did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the first things.
Okay. So the next sugya that I wanted to do was Shichrut. Okay, so drunkenness. So we're going to see mostly the Rambam, and then we'll see the Halacha Psukah at the end. There's three different sections of the Rambam that are of interest to us. One is the Avodat HaKohanim in the Beit Mikdash. The other is Hilchot Tefillah itself. And the third is Ilchot Nesiat Kapayim of Birchat Kohanim. Okay? So, the Rambam in Hilchot Biyat HaMikdash says as follows. Kol Kohen HaKasher LaAvodah Im Shat HaYayin Asur Lo LeIkanes Lifnai V'Lifnim, right? A Kohen who is allowed to do Avodah, if he drinks any wine, so he's not allowed to go in. V'hu Sheshata Revi'it Yayin Chai Bevat Achat, if he had enough. Aval Im Shat HaPachot Merevi'it Yayin Oh, shatar v'yid v'yifsik ba. He ate it in a certain amount of time that was too long. Chayav mita uposel ha'avodah.
That's
heavy. So he's chayav mita, and it's posel the avodah. That's if he drank enough. Fine. Hayashikor mishar mashkin. Hamishachrin, asur leikanes lemikdash, v'im nichnas v'avad, v'hu shikor mishar mashkin, hamishachrin, harei zeloka v'avodato k'shera. If you drink anything except for wine, intoxicating beverages, and you get drunk, so if you do it, you're not allowed to do it, and if you do, you get malkot, but the avodah is kasher. It's not pasul. She'in chayvin mita, ela ala yayin b'shat avodah, v'in mechal avodah, ela shikor min ha'yayin. So, according to the Rambam, with regards to the Avodah and the Beit HaMikdash, Only wine can nullify the avodah. Any other substance cannot. And with regard to wine, it doesn't matter whether you're drunk or not. If you have a revi'it, your avodah is pasul, and it's chayav mita. Doesn't matter whether you're drunk. With regards to other beverages, if you're drunk, you're not allowed to do it, but it works. Okay? Fine. Now let's jump to the chot tefillah in the next column. Shikori al yitpalel v'mnei she'en lo kavana, v'im yitpalel tefillato toiva. V'chichach chozer u'mitpalel k'shitroken mishichruto. You're not allowed to daven, and if you do, it's a toiva, it doesn't count, Hashem's not interested in, and you have to daven again when you get sober. Shatui, so that was shikor. Shatui, al yitpalel v'im yitpalel tefillato tefila. Shatui is less than shikor. He's just a person who is drunk, who has drunk.
Who has imbibed.
Maybe tipsy?
Eze shikor, eze sheinu yechol daber lifnei ha-melech. Shatui, yechol daber lifnei ha-melech, veinu mishtabesh. Ava bi gein ho v'shatar v'it, yayin lo yitpalel ad she'asir, yayinu me'alav. This is the same categories from before. The Rambam says, to drink wine, if you drink a revi'it of wine, it doesn't matter whether you're drunk or not, you're not allowed to daven, but your tefillah is a tefillah. If you're drunk, then your tefillah is not a tefillah at all.
What does mishtabesh mean? Being a mishtabesh?
To mess up, to become corrupted.
No. No, yeah. Mishtabesh is like when your speech is impaired.
Yeah, that's what I mean. In general, mishtabesh means to be corrupted.
No, because it says, shatu yechol daber bifnei
melech. Yeah, ve'eino mishtabesh.
Eino mishtabesh. That's the first case.
You can speak straight. No, that's the second. That's shatui. Shikor, eino yechol daber.
Okay.
Shatui,
means he
slurs
his speech. Okay.
No, Shatui, he's fine. Shatui, he can speak fine. He's not drunk.
He's
not drunk. He just drank. Which means he's not allowed to daven. He's not allowed to daven, but tefillah to tefillah. Now, what about other things? So the Ramban, in his Chidush Aman Brachos, he says, Avale inyan shikor v'shatui, nirli she'ein brachot b'chlal chomer zeh. This doesn't count for brachot at all. You can say brachot under any circumstance. The fish always kiyor chachamim al tefila. Chachamim didn't say anything except for tefila. Aval kriyat shma vein tzarech lomar bracha karin hein v'yotzin hem yidei chovatan. The time of the tefila mishum kriyat shma and brachot you can do even drunk. Kriyat shma and brachot you can do drunk. Zayim the tefila mishum debaya kavana yitera mnei shehu kimedaber b'fnei ha-melech. Because tefila requires a greater amount of kavana, such that kriyat shma doesn't need. Kriyat Shema needs less. How do we know that it needs less? What do the Mishnayot in Brachot say? In terms of workers in trees? Anybody who did that, Yomi? Workers in trees? Workers in trees, if it's Zman Kriyat Shema, they just do it in the tree. But if it's Zman Tefillah, they have to come down. Can't dive in a tree, but you can say Kriyat Shema in a tree. Why? Because Kriyat Shema doesn't require so much Kavanah. And even the Kavanah that does require is only for one sentence. Whereas Tefillah requires a higher amount of kavana. So that's why
there are dugmaot where Kriyat Shema has special rules.
It is, but the Kriyat Shema.
Kol Isha, for instance, it was.
Ma Kesher le Kol
Isha. Wasn't you not allowed to listen to a woman while saying Kriyat Shema?
Right. Well, that's
Pesukim. Say that about Tfila.
Yeah, it does. You're not allowed to daven if you're in the middle of hearing Kol Isha. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, it'd be Divrei Torah. Everything is different. Okay. So that's the Ramban's opinion about other areas. Now the Rambam says about tefillah v'nisiat kapayim. Hayayin ketzad, mi sheshata reviyat yayin. This is talking about berchat kohanim. Somebody who drank a reviyat of wine, bevat achat, eino nosei et kapav, ad sheyasir et yeino me'alav, lafi shehuksha bracha la'avodah. That means even just a reviyat of wine, doesn't matter whether he's drunk or not. Why? Because it's ukshal avodah. It's the same thing as the avodah tekohanim. Shatar vid yayin b'shtei pa'amim o shenatan letocho ma'at mayim mutar v'im shata yotem revit af api shaya mazug af api shishtau kama v'im lo yisat kapav ad she'asir et yino me'alav. If you have anything more than a revit of wine, you are not allowed to do berchat kohanim until it gets out of your system. The Shulchan Aruch. Shatar vid yayin b'vat achat lo yisat kapav Shtan b'shtei b'amim is basically almost the same as the Rambam. Oshan atan l'tocho ma'admai mutar v'im shata yodim revit av'bishu mazug v'afilu shtar b'kama p'amim lo yisad kapav ad she'asir yayinu me'elav. you had more than a revi'it of wine, you don't do nisiyat kapayim at all until the wine goes out of your system, and that does not that takes more than 10 minutes.
That's only one.
What?
It's only wine.
Yeah, it's only wine for now. For now, it's only wine. Taz, enter the taz to resolve. I took out the top part. The top part is a pilpul. It's important, but we don't have time and I don't have space. This is its conclusion. Al korach nira barur. It's clear to me. Sheim shata shar dvar mishaker. Okay, Ilan? Other things, not wine. Avogav de lagabe avodainu chayav mita, kamoshakatav rambam, de mikdashin chayav mita, ladafka biyayin, avobashar made the mishaker kagund vela hareza loka vavodatok shira. Even though, with regards to the avod in the base of mikdash, drinking other intoxicating substances is not going to get you killed, and it's not even going to nullify the avodah. Mikom akom gabe nasiat kapayim, vada yasur. Kim da kopanim yeshisur bavodah mina Torah. According to the Taz, any intoxicating drink besides for wine, whiskey, bourbon, rum,
beer.
Beer?
Strong beer.
Don't know. Okay, beer, I guess I could hear somebody be mefalfel in beer. But okay, that's not what people drink anyways. In shul. People aren't drinking beer in shul. No? Maybe I'm way off here. No, people aren't drinking beer in shul.
This shul, no. My brother's shul has beer on tap. My brother shul has
beer at the Kiddush. At the Kiddush, Peseder, but not at the Kiddush club.
So shouldn't we cancel Birkat Kohanim on Simchat Torah?
I remember somebody got very upset at me when I told him he shouldn't do it.
Simon doesn't drink. Simon doesn't drink at all.
Right, so if you don't drink at all, then of course you can. If you don't drink it all, then fine.
Maybe we should make an announcement here on Simchat Torah. Any Kohen who's had Kiddush already should not go off.
Oh, no, so this is the Taz about Birchat Kohanim.
Yeah, why is he talking about Birchat Kohanim? We just learned. This should be the same din for Tefillah.
It should even be maybe... Well, so that's Birchat Kohanim. So hold on. So now the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram disagrees. So he says, Katav Rio, I actually don't know who that is. Shikor nearly dafka shegil l'shikhuto shal lot lo yisakapav. He says it has to be a really high level. V'arab beis Yosef chalak alav, that it could be even lower. Linear the divariyot barims. In other words, the Magen Avraham agrees with him. But in the end, just look at the underlying part. Imkain b'nusias kapayim leka isurei klal b'shar mashkin. He doesn't think there's any problem at all. Elimkain u'shikor kalot das patrami kol mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham has a much higher threshold for nusias kapayim. U'mash nafilei niyoch al dabim v'nimelach rashal yisak kapav. So they're relying on the Magen Avraham. That's the answer. Those who get very drunk or even a little bit drunk, so they're relying on the Magen Avraham. The Taz disagrees. We'll see later what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. The Shulchan Aruch about davening. Shata yayin kedei revi'it, al yitpalel ad sheyasir yeino. Same thing. If you drink wine of a revi'it, doesn't matter whether you're, drunk or not, you should not daven. Ve'im shata yoter, im u'yachol ledaber l'fnei ha'melach, im yitpalel tfilato tfila, so tfila, ve'im enu yachol ledaber l'fnei ha'melach, im yitpalel tfilato toiva. There's two issues here. Should you daven? And then, if you davened, do you have to daven again? So the answer is, if you drink even a revi'it of wine, you should not daven. But if you did, if all you had was a revi'it of wine and you're not drunk, then you don't have to daven again. You're fine. But if you're drunk, then you have to drink, you have to daven again. Tfilato toiva. You can do tashlumin. In other words, being drunk, right? This is another thing that you guys recently learned in the Dafyomi, tefillah tashlumin. Under what circumstances do you make up for tefillah? Right? So the Gemara says only under the circumstance that you missed the tefillah by quasi-accident. Not if you did it on purpose. Not if you just said, you know what? I don't feel like davening right now. I'll daven 2 minchas later. That's not a good reason. That you can't do that. However, apparently, being drunk...
is a good reason.
Even though you were drunk by your choice.
Yes. Kedin shogeg. Kedin shogeg. Vedin kriyat shema, the Rama says, against the Ramban, kedin tfila. Avashar brachot, tichol levarech afa bishushikor. So, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rama paskins against the Ramban about kriyat shema, but with the Ramban on brachot. So, nesiat kapayim, nesiat kapayim, with regards to why, nesiat kapayim is basically the same thing as avodah, avodat Beit HaMikdash, according to the Taz, according to the Magen Avraham, with regards to Shar Mashkin, it's fine, unless you're really, really drunk. You have no idea what you're doing, because being really, really drunk means you can't do mitzvahs. So that's the real problem with it.
So what about Birkat HaMazon?
The Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, Birkat HaMazon is fine. Birkat HaMazon is fine. That's cover. It's the Mishnah Berurah, I think, is going to cover it. Or maybe I didn't put it in, but the Mishnah Berurah does say Birkat HaMazon is fine. Unless you're so drunk that you have no idea what you're doing, because then you're pater from mitzvot. Kriyat Shema is the same as Tefillah. And what's Tefillah? Tefillah, is there any reason to differentiate between wine and Shar Mashkin for Tefillah? Think about that for a second. Is there a reason to be mechalek between wine and Shar Mashkin for Tefillah? So for Birchat Kohanim, we said there was. The Magen Avraham said that there was. Why? Because Birchat Kohanim is mamash like Avodat Kohanim. It's the same thing. The Taz disagreed. He said, no, it's not. It's a separate thing. What about Tefillah? Is Tefillah mamash like Avodat Kohanim, that wine holds a special place, that it you know, invalidates you?
Doesn't make a difference.
On the other hand, it says that even if you have a revi'it, even if you're not drunk, you can't daven. So is that a fundamental law or just a technical law? Revi'it is a shear of wine such that most people get drunk or feel something and you shouldn't daven.
Just one question. What is a revi'it? And what type of wine are you talking about?
Revi'it is about, I think it's this much.
Okay. So they're talking about a little less than 4 ounces. Back then, there was a very potent wine.
Let's not do that. Let's not get into that.
But it does make sense. You know what? Because the wine you have today, if you have...
when you say back then, you're talking about 2,000 years ago. The Shulchan Aruch is written 500 years ago.
The Seder, if you look 500 years ago.
It's the same as the one we have now.
It's the same as now? Yeah. And that got them drunk? One thing? That's nothing.
It got them something. It got them, not drunk necessarily, but buzz.
Is it alcoholic beverage or is wine? I mean, grape juice today is regarded as wine.
No, it's not.
No, it's
not. So it's literally something that has an alcoholic content.
Yeah, of course. There are lots of halachos that apply to wine that obviously don't apply to grape juice. Like,
I mean, because everybody's different. Look, that might that.
Of course, everybody's that different.
Could get somebody different, like drunk.
Of course,
but see, it might not get.
Somebody of course, different. But that's the point. For sure, for avodat kohanim in the Beit Hamikdash, revi'it is the shi'ur. Nikuda. Okay. It doesn't matter whether it gets you drunk
same
or not.
I'm with you.
Birchat kohanim, same.
But I'm talking about everybody else and tefillah.
Fine. So the Shulchan Aruch just said. Revi'it wine means that it's asur to daven, but it doesn't mean that your tefillah didn't work, which separates it from avodah Beit HaMikdash. Right there, it separates it, because avodah Beit HaMikdash more than a revi'it wine, your avodah is no good. Yeah.
And you have mitzvah.
Yeah. So, but for davening, revi'it of wine doesn't invalidate your tefillah, but it makes asur to yitpala. Now the Mishnah Berurah comments and says shata yayin. So the Mishnah Berurah validates the Taz for now. It says it would be the same. Shar Mashkim, it's whatever the shiur of normal drink for Shar Mashkim is. He wants to say that even the Magen Avraham, who's makel by Nesiat Kapayim, mistaber the Tefillah Chamira va'asur kamo bayayin. Which means that according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham would let a Kohen get up to do Birchat Kohanim, but he wouldn't let him say Shmoneh Esrei.
Say that again.
According to the Mishnah Berurah, there is a situation, if a Kohen drinks a couple of shots of whiskey, He's not allowed to daven Shmoneh Esrei, but he's allowed to go to Berachat Kohanim, according to the Magen Avraham.
It'll be very difficult in Musaf.
Right. Ufidat, because he says Tefillah Chamira. Tefillah is Chamira. Tefillah is more Chamur from Berachat Kohanim. Ufidat Ataz, Hanal lo bein in Bashar Mashkin Shir Avit. You don't need a Shir Avit, of course, according to the Taz. Velinir demikomikom bein in Shehebo kadeh l'shaker b'Avit Yayin. It has to be an equivalent measure, whatever is the equivalent, I guess, alcohol content, I guess. Whatever it does it for you, a reviat of wine, whatever that does for you, so the same thing in Shar Mashkin. But any less than that, you'd be fine. In other words, if you had a drop of whiskey, that doesn't invalidate you for davening. Al yitpalel, vafil me'edeze yavor zman tefila prichadesh. Even if you're going to miss zman tefila, you don't do it. So he says, if you're going to miss Zman Tfila, it sounds like the Yam Shah Shlomo says you should daven, even if you've had a little bit to drink, because anyways you're not going to have so much kavana.
So in the case of Purim, Marav and Purim, then if you're a little bit drunk at 4 o'clock, you can wait to daven Marav at 10 o'clock and be all
right. Right. Now, I want to just make one conceptual point over here, which is, what is the difference between alcohol, drinking, drunkenness with regards to Berachat Kohanim versus Tefillah?
Tefillah, Berachat Kohanim, you're like a messenger almost from Hashem.
And so what's the problem with being drunk in that situation?
You'll mess up.
And so what's the problem with that? Is it the Kavanah? Is Kavanah the problem? What's the problem?
No, Kavanah for Tefillah. For
no, Berachat Kohanim. Berachat Kohanim and Avodat Kohanim. What's the problem?
You don't do it up here.
And therefore, it's disgraceful.
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to be serving Hashem in the Beit HaMikdash, and look at you, you're a slump, and you're falling on your face. It's disgraceful. The problem there is a problem of Bizayon. Right? With tefillah, the problem is you can't have kavanah. That's perechad. That's the problem.
Which is the highest standard.
And not having kavanah is it's that itself is a bizayon.
By the way, do we learn from this as well about learning drunk? Is it the same in you as tefillah? We said that davening is the same. Tefillah is the same learning, and so we say that drunk is not going to be the same. So we have a
I think not, because tefillah, when we say tefillah, we're not talking about Stam talking to Hashem, we're talking about the Shmoneh Esrei, which is a Seder Avodah, right? We have, as I was telling my son the other day, I don't see so many people talking about this, but I think it's important to think about this. You have two aspects to tefillah. Tefillah, and it's actually captured, you know, on what is our tefillah based? On what is our tefillah nowadays? And what is it based? It's machloket, right? It's based on two things. One is avot, rachme, bakasha, praying to Hashem. Yeah. And the other is
korbanot.
Those two still exist in tefillah. Tefillah has two personalities. One personality is, it's your opportunity to talk to God. It's your opportunity to beg from God whatever you need. On the other hand, it's also your obligation to approach God every day three times. It's your opportunity, avot, they gave us that. Rachme, it's compassion. On the other hand, it's also korbanot. You have to do it. We have to approach tefillah both from a perspective of this is a great opportunity and from an perspective of an obligation. So the tefillah that we're talking about of Shmoneh Esrei, you can't be drunk for that because it's not about you. If it was your tefillah, if it was like your off hours tefillah, so then whatever. But that's not what this is. Last thing.
Could you make a point, therefore, that it's not the same obligation for the Kohen? Our obligation of tefillah is not the same obligation as it is on the Kohen. It's less of an obligation on the Kohen.
Why? It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah, but is it an obligation? Suppose there are 9 Kohanim. Suppose I'm a Kohen and I said, you know what? I'm not feeling well. I'm going to step outside and let the other 9 Kohanim... Yeah.
But the Berachat Kohanim, we said, is actually closer to the Avodah Beit HaMikdash problem. So the fact that he gets up there like that is disgraceful. That's the problem.
So he could beg off and say, I'm not up to it today, get another Kohen in my place.
He could. Last one, so we can finish the Amud. Mishnah Berurah says, "Ayin levir agra ulfi dvarav yesh laachmir lechatchila b'shikor sheinu yachol ledaber lefnei melech af b'shar brachot." The gra is machmir even on brachot. Even on brachot, he says, if you're shikor sheinu yachol ledaber lefnei melech, you can't even say brachot. However, he continues, says, "V'kol zekshalei gil shichruto shalot im lo hachi keshot yichashu legamri lechuliyam upater az b'kol mitzvot." Phil Bidiaved, Imkara Azu Birech Lo Mifta Bakah Shari Paturaya Botashav Khayev Akharkah Lakzar Likot Ulivarich. Okay, that's a chumra mentioned by the Gra. Lakhathila, not to be drunk for brachot. However, you are allowed to make a bracha as long as you're not Meshichruto Shalot. As we said before, Shichruto Shalot, you're not even a human being anymore. You're not Chayev in mitzvos, and that's why you would not be allowed to make a bracha, because your bracha is useless. But that is the sugya. All right? Shkoyach, everybody. Vayetzachai and Yodaf Yomi, if you are learning it.
So is it now 2 weeks from now, or...